Christian news program, The Divided Kingdom. Many of you were fascinated with our coverage of the Notre Dame Cathedral destruction as a possible global Illuminati sacrifice ritual. This is Luke Cavalli speaking. Some new things are emerging. Let's review part of a WorldNet Daily article we presented earlier. Perhaps the perception was right on that the key architect of destruction of the Notre Dame Christian Cathedral is a combined Antichrist spirit of Lucifer taking over the European nation states and using the papacy to demolish what's left of European Christianity and civilization. If so, there is still a need for henchmen, mercenary rabid dogs to do the actual destruction. The UN Soros forces paying for radical Islam to invade may well be this battalion of the end times. The same WorldNet Daily article Elizabeth quoted on an earlier program concerning the two French churches all attacked within 1 week recently said this on April 16th, 2019. The Daily Mail reported, quote, ISIS fanatics are heartlessly reveling in the inferno at Notre Dame Cathedral just days before Easter, calling it, quote, retribution and punishment, unquote. A poster of the blazing cathedral appeared online accompanied by the words, have a good day, and was created by the ISIS-affiliated Al-Muntasir group, according to the Terrorism Research and Analysis Consortium. Social media users with Muslim names celebrated the catastrophic fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral. Jihad Watch director Robert Spencer pointed out many Muslims, quote, believe that the ruins and destruction of non-Muslim structures testifies to the truth of Islam, unquote. The Quran, wrote Spencer, suggests that the destroyed remnants of ancient non-Muslim civilizations are a sign of Allah's punishment of those who reject the truth. The Guardian reported in 2016 a cell of radicalized French women guided by ISIS commanders in Syria was blamed for a failed terrorist attack near the Notre Dame Cathedral. Geller's report noted that in June 2017, and this is in quotes, a jihadi attacked a police officer with a hammer at the Notre Dame Cathedral. Fareed Ikin injured the officer with a hammer and was found to be in possession of butcher knives, unquote. In the meantime, the Daily Mail reported authorities are focusing on the Notre Dame as an, quote, involuntary destruction caused by fire, unquote. This is also a quote. The focus of prosecutors is currently on contractors who had been working on scaffolding erected as part of the restoration project when the blaze broke out, unquote. Remy Heitz, Paris public prosecutor, said he is favoring, quote, the theory of an accident, unquote.
Yes, Lou, the term involuntary fire, that's really one to make you chuckle. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, and we're commenting again about the WorldNet Daily article that we had presented earlier on an earlier program. The fire couldn't help itself. You see, involuntary, maybe spontaneous combustion.
Yes. Now, here's more breaking news. And this was posted on April the 28th, 2019, at WorldNet Daily, posted by Art Moore. Headline, Notre Dame Architect, Blaze Was No Accident. When the Fox News Channel Shepard Smith hung up on French politician and media analyst Philippe Carcenti during live coverage, and I might interject I heard that very thing happen, during live coverage of the Notre Dame Cathedral blaze, authorities already were speculating the catastrophe that gripped the world was caused by an accident. Although speculation is the coin of the cable news realm, an indignant Smith wanted nothing to do with Carcenti providing context to the April 15th fire. Nearly 2,000 attacks on French churches in 2 years. Context that would suggest an alternative case or cause should be considered. And in fact, as Carcenti pointed out in a phone interview with France, from France with WND, a former chief architect of the Notre Dame, whose analysis has been virtually ignored, believes the accident theory makes no sense. Carcenti told WND he was shocked when Smith abruptly ended the interview. Carcenti said, quote, I just wanted to put it in context. referring to the surge of attacks on churches. He went on to say, and then I said, nevertheless, the media lecturing us an hour after it started saying can only be unintentional. I didn't say it was a terrorist attack. I didn't say it was a criminal attack, Carceny recalled to WND. The French media analyst said he couldn't have imagined such censorship, quote, would happen in the United States, unquote. He said, I thought I was with the free media outlet in the land of freedom. Then I was cut off. Carceny, 52, is the founder of the French media watchdog Media Ratings and a councillor of the city of... And here, Elizabeth might have to help me with my French.
Could you spell it?
N-E-U-I-L-L-Y, Sosen.
It could be Newly, it could be Nui.
Well,
with your good bass voice and going slowly, nobody will notice, I think.
I think you're right.
If we didn't say it right.
And that's a suburb of Paris. Among the more recent of the nearly 2,000 attacks on churches in the past 2 years were a fire in Saint-Sulpice Church in Paris, human feces smeared on a wall in Notre-Dame des Enfants in Nîmes, and the vandalization of the organ at Saint-Denis Basilica.
And that might be Saint-Denis.
Yeah, I think you're right. Saint-Denis Basilica outside the French capital. Carceny pointed out that while Paris public prosecutor Rémy Heitz has said from the beginning that he believes the fire was an accident, the former Notre-Dame architect Benjamin Mouton insists that theory makes no sense. In a live broadcast April 16th on the French TV network LCI, Mouton explained that the oak timbers that made up the cathedral's roof had become hardened after more than 800 years and wouldn't burn easily. Said Mouton, who served as the chief architect from 2000 to 2013, you would need a lot of kindling to succeed. It stupefies me. Authorities suspect some type of electrical fire sparked the blaze, but Mouton believes that's not possible. He said, quote, in the 1990s, we updated all the electrical wiring of Notre Dame, so there is no possibility of a short circuit. We updated to conform with the contemporary norms, even going so far, all the detection and protection systems against fire in the cathedral, unquote. Last Thursday, investigators were allowed inside the cathedral for the first time, and a French police official told the New York Times nothing was being ruled out. They are focusing on the possibility of a short circuit by electrified bells near the spire or cigarette butts left by workers carrying out renovation. A bell specialist at the French Ministry of Culture, Regis would be the English way to say it, Singer said it's plausible that the fire started in the bells in the spire. But Nicholas Geary, who electrified another set of bells in the cathedral in 2007, told the Times he thought about that possibility but has ruled it out. He said, quote, for me this would be impossible. He pointed out that numerous redundant safeguards existed, including circuit breakers and shielding. It was draconian. This is his quote. It was draconian. We tripled the precautions, he said. We were all hyper-prudent. You don't do just anything in the forest, he said, referring to the medieval timbers that supported the roof. It was hyper-securitized. A contractor admitted last Wednesday that workers renovating the cathedral flouted a ban on smoking. But he insisted, quote, in no way could a cigarette butt be the cause of the fire at Notre Dame.
Cigarette butt, a cause? And as we go slowly, Lou, we want to go very slowly as we go through all of this because we want to give the people time to think and think what this all means. Another part of that same article, thank you for telling the truth. Carceny is known in France and around the world for charging that the iconic martyrdom of the 12-year-old Palestinian boy, Muhammad al-Dura, in 2000 was a hoax meant to bring condemnation on Israel. A defamation suit by France 2 Television and its Middle East correspondent against Carceny resulted in a decade-long legal battle in which the nation's highest court in 2012 overturned his conviction. A year later, the Paris Court of Appeals convicted him again. But that same year, an Israeli investigation presenting video evidence confirmed his claim that the Palestinians staged the boy's death. Nevertheless, to this day, many on the left view Carceny as a conspiracy theorist, and Shepard Smith's treatment of him only solidified that view. Now, we're going to interrupt this article for a moment because with everything we're bringing to you all the time, we have to keep our eyes open because there are false flags going on all the time. And some of the latest things that have happened, the shooting at the synagogue in Southern California, it looks as though that person was ousted from the service several years ago after he had done violent offenses. And this was from the Los Angeles Times, April 30th, 2019. He was kicked out of the service several years ago following a clash in Afghanistan, sources told the Times. And this, of course, was the Los Angeles Times. And going on with him, Domingo, there was a story, too, that, quote, Domingo served in Afghanistan from September 2012 to January 2013 and had previously been stationed at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, according to court documents made public Monday. He joined the military in February 2011 and left the service a month before, his return from Afghanistan, according to the U.S. Department of Defense. And they tell that his military discharge was part of a broader portrait emerging of a man described as consumed by hate and erratic, violent, and all of these different things. Now, the interesting part, now we come to Richard Winton, April 30th, 2019, what he said. Prosecutors said Domingo, a recent convert to Islam, specifically wanted payback for a mass shooting carried out by a white supremacist in New Zealand that left 50 Muslims dead on March 15th. Domingo has been charged with providing material support to terrorists and faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted. He has not entered a plea and remains in federal custody. During several weeks of recorded conversations with an FBI informant, Domingo expressed desires to kill Jews, Christians, and police officers in either shootings or bombings that could take place across Southern California, including at landmark targets like the Santa Monica Pier. Eventually, he settled on a rally organized by a far-right group, United Patriots National Front, set for Bluff Park in Long Beach on April 28th. And it says, according to the documents, Domingo purchased 8 pounds of nails that he believed were long enough, quote, to penetrate the human body and puncture internal organs, and planned to work alongside two others to create a pressure cooker bomb. Lou, do I hear a noise?
Ding, ding, ding.
Similar to the device used during the 2013 Boston Marathon attacks. But his co-conspirator was an FBI informant. I'm waiting.
Ding, 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 ding.
And the purported bomb maker was an undercover law enforcement officer, prosecutors said.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Do you remember there was something akin to this with the first failed attack on the World Trade Center, I think in 1993? There was something like this where supposedly the FBI was involved. It was almost as if we had to entrap the person into doing it. Get the perpetrator moving and make it just the way we were going to have the talking points ready. Domingo was arrested April 26th after being supplied with an inert device that he believed to be an improvised explosive, according to court documents. And there was another eyewitness who said he had been attending prayers each Friday at a nearby mosque. So you see, this is a mixed portrait. We're not certain at all who this person is. A recent convert to Islam, and all of these odd connections with the FBI informants. It reminded us of a thing we read, Lou, about a very high maximum security prison. You think it was in Colorado?
I believe it was. And I think they call it the Supermax prison.
And it was interesting because it had all these former, what you and I would call, from our New World Order Enlightenment views, it had all the patsies of the past. It had Ted Kaczynski and a number of others, and we think that there was one from 9/11 too. And now the interesting part was nobody can go there to interview them. It's closed. Now, is this another kind of keeping the sunshine off the truth? We've heard it said before that also many of these patsies, like Mark David Chapman, I believe, wasn't he the shooter of John Lennon?
I believe that's right.
See, we have all these names. There are always three names in these sort of mind-controlled, possibly, people. This is Mark Stephen Domingo, a 26-year-old, you see. He was plotting. Oh, the other person who is in that facility, I remember, Richard Reed, the failed shoe bomber. He's there,
yes,
too.
Yes.
See, aren't you starting to hold your nose a little bit?
Oh, yes, and I could be wrong. It may be that until his death, Charles Manson was there, but I'm not so sure about that.
You're not really sure about that. Then the other one, the other troubling portrait of synagogue shooting suspect emerges, attracted to such darkness. This was April 30th, Times staff. And here again, we had John T. Ernest charged in the Poway synagogue attack Monday. And this was really, they said, this portrait emerged of a troubled 19-year-old consumed by hate. And that may just be what this was. We're not sure. We don't see as many alarms going off with all the FBI informants. We're not certain. But at any rate, he had been a nurse. And some people who had known about this, they were very upset that this happened. So this attack killed Gilbert K., 60, and injured three others. And, of course, there was a hero in this, wasn't there, Lou?
I believe there was a veteran, I believe, who
chased the gunman
out of the California
synagogue.
Yeah.
In fact, they had a picture here with this article. And this suspect supposedly identifies himself as a man of European descent. He does not claim any political labels, but asserts that Jews seek to doom the white race. So this may have been just a true radical white supremacist, if we want to give a label. But with all of this, we have to keep our eyes open, because some things are not the way they seem to be. And now, getting back to this Notre Dame Cathedral disaster, this article we've been talking about, Carcenti, and so they said that to this day, many on the left view Carcenti as a conspiracy theorist, and Shepard Smith's treatment of him only solidified that view. After the Fox News interview, Carcenti said he was, quote, slandered on French TV and radio, while some journalists told him privately they condemned Smith's behavior. At an elite club, where he is a member along with prime ministers and members of parliament, he said people thanked him for speaking out. They said, "You were so right on TV. Thank you for telling the truth," recounted Carcenti. "People are fed up with the narrative they are telling us," he said. And now we recall here that before, when this defamation suit by France 2 Television came against him, there was a decade-long legal battle. But, you see, the nation's highest court in 2012 overturned his conviction. And a year later, the Paris Court of Appeals convicted him again. But that same year, an Israeli investigation presenting video evidence confirmed his claim that the Palestinians staged the boy's death. The New World Order is gruelingly aggressive. We see this with Antifa, the George Soros backing. We see this with the weathermen, in the aging weathermen who are in a lot of the colleges and universities, turning our youth into socialists. We can see that it's very hard to get the truth, and the people who are telling the truth are kicked off the social media platforms. So if you value this program, we are sort of the premier shortwave radio program telling the truth. We need some help many times to stay on air, and if you would like to correspond with us and send a little cash or send a money order, and we can't take checks directly written to us, but they can be written to WWCR. The name is Lou, capital L-O-U, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Caverly, and the post office box is 28. The town is Bethlehem, as in the Bible, Maryland, 21609, and we do thank those of you who have helped us just lately. Very, very helpful to us. Every little bit counts. We can always use postage stamps, too. Now, back to this story on Carcenti. We said that People are fed up with the narrative they are telling us, he said. Carcetti said he was invited to come on a French TV program after his Fox News interview, but he requested that he be joined by Mouton, who would testify of his belief that the accident theory is unlikely, if not impossible. Mouton declined, however, explaining he was in Shanghai, where he is a professor at Tongji University, and he hasn't appeared on French television since the April 16th interview. I thought I could go straight to the point. Carcetti told WorldNet Daily he was not familiar with Shepard Smith and the news anchor's reputation as a left-leaning counter to the network's conservative commentators and hosts. Quote, to me, I was talking to Fox News. If I were on CNN or any other media outlet, I would have been more careful to bring this story, he said. Quote, I thought I could go straight to the point of what was happening. I was shocked. It had never happened to me before anywhere in the world to be cut off, said Carcetti. Smith interrupted his guest in the April 15th interview when, after mentioning the church attacks, Carcetti said, of course you will hear the political correctness that it's probably an accident, but, sir, we're not going to speculate here of the cause of something that we don't know, Smith interjected. If you have observations or you know something, we would love to hear it. Carcetti continued, I'm just telling you, you need to be ready. No, sir, we're not doing that here, Smith declared. Not now, not on my watch. Philippe Carcetti, it's very good of you to be here. And now I believe there's a little bit more that you have, Lou, about the kid, the death, and the truth.
Yes. Carcetti observed a pattern in such incidents, particularly if it might have something to do with Islam, of authorities without having investigated, immediately telling the public it was an accident. Says Carcetti, quote, if you come out and say, wait a minute, there may be another explanation, it's not allowed. You don't have the right to think freely. The Eldura affair echoes the Fox News interview, Carcetti acknowledged, in its challenge to a narrative staunchly held by information gatekeepers. The images aired by France 2 of the father and son purportedly under fire from Israeli soldiers became a rallying cry for the 2000 Intifada against Israel. Postage stamps in the Middle East bore the images, and images of the boy could be seen in the background when Jewish-American journalist Daniel Pearl was beheaded by al-Qaeda jihadists in 2002. Carcetti said that even after video evidence was presented showing the incident was a hoax, French courts argued that he didn't possess that evidence at the time he made the claim in the 2004 article that provoked the case. It seems, he said, that he was found guilty of being, quote, too intuitive, unquote. In a September 2013 interview with New English Review, Carcetti said France 2 Television, French officials, and the French Association of Journalists didn't care about the facts. He said, quote, they have a faith. That faith is that the state of Israel is guilty of killing children. They also have a political objective, which is to make the state of Israel guilty, unquote. And he went on to say, anytime I'm in front of someone who has a decent brain and who is open-minded, when I show him the pieces of evidence, he agrees and says, of course, it's a hoax, unquote.
And do not kid yourselves, listeners, that you can go back to sleep because over the pond to France is not here. No, here, the same diabolical plan is in motion, Islam rising, infiltrators elected to Congress, Central American illegals, and no doubt some radical Islam breaking into our borders. And we have a sampling here. But before we go to that sampling, I would again like to read this tweet of Ilhan Omar. A U.S.-backed coup in Venezuela. This was, I believe, do I have a date? Yes, January 24th, 2019. A U.S.-backed coup in Venezuela is not a solution to the dire issues they face. Trump's efforts to install a far-right opposition will only incite violence and further destabilize the region. We must support Mexico, Uruguay, and the Vatican's efforts to facilitate a peaceful dialogue. There was the cat out of the bag that Islam is closely allied with the UN and the Vatican efforts to flood us with all of the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, whether they be from Central America or whether they are from the Middle East. the same takedown plan for Europe is coming now to your neighborhood and mine. But in all of this, there is Dawah. And we remember our late friend Carol Matriciano, her wonderful DVD, Islam Rising, in which it was explained Dawah is the deception. And it's very clever as the radical Islamists come into a country and they pretend to assimilate in preparation for opening the door to the Trojan horse. And so now this infiltration is beginning in Congress. Lou, take it away.
From WorldNet Daily, Rashida Tlaib, in group that calls Jews, quote, satanic, unquote. And this was posted on January the 29th, 2019. Representative Rashida Tlaib, a Muslim Democratic newcomer to Congress from Michigan, already has established a reputation in Washington as a radical. She has lashed out at President Trump with a foul tirade, was accused of lying to her voters, and insisted on using Thomas Jefferson's Koran for a swearing-in, perhaps not realizing he likely owned it to learn more about the Muslim Barbary pirates who were kidnapping and killing Americans at that time. Now an investigation by the Daily Caller News Foundation has uncovered anti-Semitic ties that, quote, run deeper than previously known. It went on to say Tlaib is a member of the Facebook group Palestinian American Congress, where members often demonize Jews, the investigation revealed. Continuing with the quote, the group's founder, Palestinian activist Meir Abdel Kader, was a key fundraiser for Tlaib and organized campaign events for her around the country. Tlaib has been a member of that Facebook group for nearly a year, the report says. And moving on with that same article, Tlaib also was supported by Women's March co-chairman Linda Sarsour, who has supported Nation of Islam founder Louis Farrakhan, a notorious anti-Semite who has praised Hitler, the report said. Meanwhile, the Clarion Project found additional concerns. It said, quote, among the guests at her both swearing-in dinner was one Abbas Hamida, an anti-Semite and supporter of Hezbollah, one of the world's most powerful terrorist organizations. Hamida has expressed admiration for Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, Clarion said. Lebanese reporter and analyst Huda al-Husseini asked, quote, why does a new member of Congress behave in this way by publicly supporting a person who, in turn, publicly supports Hezbollah, which in turn is supported by Iran? I came to my conclusion at the very moment Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited the Middle East to discuss a way to block Iran's hostile opposition and its intervention in the affairs of Arab countries. Its support of Hamas in Gaza at the expense of the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah, while at the same time Washington encourages Lebanon to do whatever it can to reduce Hezbollah's influence, unquote. He added, quote, maybe Tlaib should ask Hamida what the Lebanese people are asking. To where does Hezbollah want to take Lebanon? And then we have, from Friday Church News Notes, January 11, 2019, more historical amplification. Congresswoman sworn in on Thomas Jefferson's Koran is deeply confused about American history. Rashida Tlaib, newly elected Democratic Congresswoman from Michigan, was sworn into Congress last week on a Koran owned by Thomas Jefferson. She said, quote, it's important to me because a lot of Americans had this kind of feeling that Islam is somehow foreign to American history. Muslims were there at the beginning. Some of our founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress now. My faith has centered me. The Prophet Muhammad was always talking about freedom and justice. That's from the Detroit Free Press, December 19, 2019. And the commentator says, Tlaib is right that some of the founding fathers knew more about Islam than some members of Congress today, but not in the ways that she assumes. As soon as America gained independence from Britain, Muslim pirates had begun seizing American merchant ships and enslaving the crews for ransom. In 1786, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were sent to London to negotiate with Tripoli's ambassador, Sidi Haji Abdul Rahman Aja. When asked why the Muslims attacked nations that, quote, had done them no injury, Hadji replied, quote, "It was written in their Quran that all nations which had not acknowledged the Prophet were sinners, whom it was the right and duty of the faithful to plunder and enslave, and that every Muslim who was slain in this warfare was sure to go to paradise." He said also that the man who was the first to board a vessel had one slave over and above his share, and that when they sprang to the deck of an enemy ship, every sailor held a dagger in each hand and a third in his mouth, which usually struck such terror into the foe that they cried out for quarter at once, unquote. And that is from Thomas Jefferson Papers in the Library of Congress. The Barbary Pirates cited the Quran as their authority for attacking, brutalizing, and enslaving anyone who has not submitted to Allah. In 1795, America paid $1 million for the release of 115 sailors, an amount that was one-sixth of the U.S. budget. The pirates demanded an annual payment of the same amount. When Jefferson was elected America's third president in 1801, he and his fellow citizens were of no mind to accept bullying and blackmail. The U.S. Navy was built to protect America against Muslim pirates. One of the most memorable acts of the Barbary War was in 1805, when a force of 8 U.S. Marines and 400 Greek and Arab mercenaries, led by U.S. Navy Lieutenant William Eaton, forced marched across 600 miles of desert from Alexandria, Egypt, to capture the city of Derna, or Derna, on the shores of Tripoli. This is memorialized in the U.S. Marine Hymn. By 1816, the Barbary states were forced to cease attacking American and British ships, and this was accomplished by force of arms. And then we have...
I think we go back
else.
To Ilhan Omar now,
we
the
do.
Other new member of Congress.
And this headline appeared on February the 13th, I believe, 2019. And as Elizabeth said, it involves the other congressional Islamic newbie, Ilhan Omar. And it concerns some of her tweets, which were the latest in a long line of controversial comments. During the campaign, she, meaning Ilhan Omar, told a group of Jewish voters in her home state that the boycott of Israel was, quote-unquote, counteractive and not helpful in getting that two-state solution, an indication she was against the BDS movement at the time. That was the boycott movement. But shortly after her victory, her election victory, she came out unequivocally in support of the boycott movement. Quote, "Ilhan believes in and supports the BDS movement and has fought to make sure people's rights... right to support it isn't criminalized," her campaign told Muslim Girl publication. More recently, she compared Israel to Iran and said she almost chuckles when the Jewish state is described as a democracy. And going on with some more quotes. Let's see what we have here. The 9 Minnesota men, and this is about Ilhan Omar facing new scrutiny of a past effort to win leniency for 9 men accused of trying to join ISIS. The 9 Minnesota men were facing decades in prison after being accused in 2015 of making plans, including buying fake passports in an effort to travel to Syria and fight for ISIS, which was at its peak level of activity and held territory in Syria and Iraq. I read one of Omar's letters to the judge, as obtained by Fox 9 Minneapolis St. Paul, quote, "Incarcerating 20-year-old men for 30 to 40 years is essentially a life sentence. Society will have no expectations of the to-be 50 or 60-year-old released prisoners."
Oh, get your violin, Lou.
Yeah.
Oh, pity party.
Yeah. "It will view them with distrust and revulsion," read her letter. And continued on saying, "Incarcerating 20-year-old men." Well, I guess that's a repetition of what I said before. So let me go down here. One of the accused men, Abdurrahman Yassin Daoud, was facing over 30 years in prison for trying to join the terrorist group. He admitted in court that he wasn't trying to enter Syria on humanitarian grounds, but rather to participate in the activities of ISIS. But Ms. Omar said... And I take that back. He said, "I was not going there to pass up medical kits of food. I was going to strictly to fight and kill on behalf of the Islamic State." Dowd went on to be sentenced to 30 years in prison after he was found guilty of trying to provide material support to ISIS and conspiring to commit murder overseas. Last month, Omar was criticized for repeated baseless allegations pushed by MSNBC and liberal activists that Senator Lindsey Graham is somehow being blackmailed into supporting President Trump. So there you have a few things.
And, you know, a few people are awake, a few clergymen. Actually, we always applaud Dr. Franklin Graham, and this is just breaking news here on April 30th, 2019. You'll be hearing us on May the 2nd, WorldNet Daily. Franklin Graham asks Trump to label civil rights group terrorists. Samaritan's Purse CEO Franklin Graham is calling on President Trump to designate the Council on American Islam Relations a terrorist organization. CAIR, and listeners, that's capital C-A-I-R, all in caps, which was an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terror financing case, already has been given that designation by the United Arab Emirates. Calling itself a Muslim civil rights organization, it aggressively tries to stamp out criticism of Islam with its, quote, lawfare campaign. Graham on Facebook discussed the reports that Trump is thinking about designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Quote, while he's at it, the label should also be applied to CAIR, which is the mouthpiece in Washington for radical Islam. He wrote again, that's the Council on American Islamic Relations. CAIR was created by operatives of Hamas, the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, I want you to take that in. CAIR was created by operatives of Hamas, the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Graham said the president, quote, is right about the Muslim Brotherhood. They should definitely be designated a terrorist group. Quote, the Muslim Brotherhood has been behind the killing of Christians around the world for decades. The destruction this group has brought to the churches and Christian population in Egypt is incredible. They are also responsible for killing other non-Muslims and even turning their violence on peaceful Muslims who disagree with them. They are already considered a terrorist organization by the governments of several countries, including Bahrain, Egypt, Russia, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. I'm thankful we have a president who is not afraid to take on extremist groups like this. CNN reported the Trump administration plans to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a, quote, foreign terrorist organization. It's, quote, working its way through the internal process, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. The designation would penalize any individual assisting the group or any company doing business with it. The administration, however, doesn't have unanimity on the plan yet, CNN said. The Trump administration recently stunned the Islamic world by designating the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist organization. Columnist Michelle Malkin reminded readers of CAIR's background. Quote, following the horrible massacre at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, CAIR flags were out in full force decrying Islamophobia and calling for crackdowns on hate speech, by which they mean any and all negative thoughts or words about CAIR or Islam. CAIR Executive Director Nihad Awad was first out of the gate to blame President Donald Trump. Target Fox News host Jeanine Pirro and Tucker Carlson, whom the left wants to silence and renew opposition to White House efforts to tighten our immigration and entrance policies, including the travel ban affecting terror-sponsoring countries upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, she said. Quote, while they drape themselves in the mantle of civility, the CAIR Brigade speaks viciously and cavalierly about their enemies. Representative Ilhan Omar says Trump is not human. On an Arab-American talk show, she mocked a college professor who treated terrorist organizations Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah with gravity. She cackled at how he named them with a sternness in his voice and questioned why the words army and America are not uttered with equal contempt. I can hear the ululations of agreement at the CAIR banquet now. This is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. I have to interject that brave American veteran who stopped the killing that we just talked about earlier in the program. I don't consider him to be something I would utter with contempt. These are traitors. These are traitors who are talking about why the words army and America are not uttered with equal contempt. And it makes us think about those rumors, those stories, those urban rumors that their first Christmas in the White House, the Clintons had red decorations on the Christmas tree. We don't know if that was true, but we know that President Trump must get rid of all these stay-behinds. He's got to clear the aisles of these Obama traitors who want to sell out our country. But back to Michelle Malkin. They thrive on violence, whether Muslims are the victims or the perpetrators. Care operatives are first to claim systematic oppression in fear of a backlash if bloodthirsty Islamic jihadists slay innocent Americans. It's always our fault, and it's always our responsibility to curtail our speech, give up our gun rights, undergo sensitivity training, accept inflated statistics about hate crimes, and apologize for everything. CARE wants to shut up its critics in the name of, quote, stopping the hate, because it doesn't want us talking about its dirty, dangerous deeds. She warned readers not to forget CARE's designation as an unindicted terror co-conspirator in 2007 in the prosecution of the Holy Land Foundation and others for providing support to violent Hamas jihadists. And federal law enforcement investigators banned interactions with CARE to, quote, prevent CARE from publicly exploiting such contacts with the FBI. Its officials also have been defendants in a number of terrorist cases. And it, quote, helped manufacture the, quote, Clock Boy fake hate claim in Texas, after which Clock Boy jetted off to Qatar to cash in on a Muslim Brotherhood-linked educational scholarship, she said. Never forget, CARE works every day to silence Muslim reformers, apostates, Christians, Jews, infidel scholars, border security advocates, anti-Sharia advocates, activists rather, and investigative independent journalists on college campuses, TV airwaves, and the internet to prevent us from exposing the truth about Islamic supremacism, Malkin said. This is good that we're having more in the media and even one lone churchman exposing what these dangers are. And when I said earlier, don't kid yourselves that you can go back to sleep because over the pond of France is not here. No, this plan is here. Islam rising, infiltration. I don't know whether we'll have time, probably not time to complete this creeping Sharia story. It'll probably continue into our next broadcast, but when we get to it, it's astounding to understand that there are special taxi cabs now in New York City, in Brooklyn, that, and I'll just give you a little excerpt from that. 50 years ago, we would have said this is impossible. But today in Brooklyn, New York, we now have Muslim Sharia patrol cars that are nearly identical to New York City Police Department cruisers. And these Sharia patrol cars are actually allowed to cruise the streets of New York City. Sharia is here. This is a serious concern. It's certainly one of the key components to ending our country, to opening the borders, not just to all the illegals coming in, but to the huge population increases that will mean real danger from Sharia and whatever else the New World Order wants to put with it. Let's move on. Now, Lou, how about these Muslim, this Muslim story in Palestine?
Yes, the rabid nature of militant radical Islam is seen in this WorldNet Daily expose of the Florida Imam. This was dated November 18th.
And now, no, this is not somebody over in Lebanon, an imam
That's
over
right.
there. This is in Florida.
Florida.
And we're really assimilating. We're really picking up the American dream to make something of ourselves and to work not like AOC. No, we don't need any borders, and I believe in human dignity, and no borders at all.
Mm. Anyway, as you hear Sabri's exhortation, ask yourself if by being a so-called American, he has assimilated any love for America, or whether the overthrow of the U.S. is tacitly implied, too, in his conviction about Palestine. And this is entitled, Muslim Willing to Sacrifice Millions of Lives to Retake Palestine. Again, this was dated November the 18th, 2018. Palestine must be retaken by Muslims, even if it costs millions of lives. And by the way, Palestine is in quotes, because Palestine is not a country. It's a region. And that's the opinion of the imam in Florida, whose recent sermon on the topic was uncovered by the Middle East Media Research Institute. The October 12, 2018 message was from Hassan Sabri of the Islamic Center of South Florida in Pompano Beach. He said a, quote, believing Muslims, unquote, position is that Palestine is, quote, Islamic, and that was occupied by force, and that it should be liberated, even if this leads to the martyrdom of tens of millions of Muslims. The Middle East Media Research Institute reported Sabri also said, quote, Allah wants each and every one of you to be a man with a cause for which he lives and dies, unquote. Noting that the Palestinian cause, quote, is being plotted against with the deal of the century, unquote. The research organization explained, according to Pompano Beach elected officials, Sabri has recited invocations annually at Pompano Beach city meetings since 2005, and the ICOSF has had a peaceful 25-year presence in the city. That would be the Islamic Center, even serving as a polling station. In September 2017, Imam Sabri was a panelist at Interfaith and Race Relations Peace and Acceptance Conference at Palm Beach State College in Lake Worth, Florida. But the building that is listed as the address of the Islamic Center is owned by the North American Islamic Trust, which was named an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorist financing case in American history. The case, U.S. versus Holy Land Foundation, resulted in convictions and imprisonment of several U.S.-based Hamas leaders.
And now we note that the other agency, CAIR, C-A-I-R, the one that Franklin Graham was talking about, now is joined by, tell us what this one is again.
This case is...
No, the agency, the Muslim agency, the North American...
Now,
what was it?
Find that once again. North American Islamic Trust.
Does it have an acronym?
Not that they list here, no.
Tell it to us one more time. North American...
Islamic Trust.
Okay.
All right, going on. Sabri said, quote, take the Palestinian cause, for example. It is now being plotted against with a deal they call the deal of the century. Why do they call it a deal? Because whoever is involved in this treason is not a man of principles. These are peddlers, not men with a cause. All they want are positions and jobs. That is why for them the cause is nothing but a deal, a matter of give and take. For them it is nothing but a deal. He continued, but what is the position of a believing Muslim about the Palestinian cause? That Palestine in its entirety is Islamic land, and there's no difference between what was occupied in 1948 and 1967. There is no difference between this village or that village, this city or that city. All of it is Islamic, and I don't know how they pronounce this. It's W-A-Q-F. That's the name of the kind of land, Islamic Waqf land, I'll say, that was occupied by force. The responsibility for it lies with the entire Islamic nation, and the Palestinians should benefit from this land. If a land is occupied or plundered, it should be liberated from the occupiers and plunderers, even if this leads to the martyrdom of tens of millions of Muslims. He added, quote, this is the ruling, and there is no room for discussion or concessions, unquote. He also said, quote, atheists always belong to minorities, national minorities, religious sects are minorities, and they have an agenda of destroying this Islamic nation. So they adopt atheism, not because it makes sense, but because it serves their approach. That is why you find most of these people, like I said, calling for goals that are opposite from the general goals of this nation. Our goal is to unite people, to unite Muslims. Their goal is to fragment Muslims even more. Wherever there is an opportunity to split a Muslim country into two or three or ten parts, you will find that they are for it. What does that have to do with atheism? It has to do with an agenda. That's all.
And again, now, in our country, we had an article, again, telling us the situation, January 16th, 2019, and this was Washington Examiner. by Anna Giaritelli. Lordsburg, New Mexico. Ranchers and farmers near the U.S.-Mexico border have been finding prayer rugs on their properties in recent months. Oh, ding, ding, ding. That's not like Cinco de Mayo or some other kind of Central American thing, is it, Lou?
No, not exactly.
Why, no.
No.
According to one rancher who asked to remain anonymous for fear of retaliation by cartels, the mats are pieces of carpet that those of the Muslim faith kneel on as they worship during their unauthorized trek into and through the United States. There's a lot of people coming in, not just from Mexico, the rancher said. People, the general public, just don't get the terrorist threats of that. That's what's really scary. You don't know what's coming across. We found prayer rugs out here. It's unreal. It's not just Mexican nationals that are coming across. The rancher, who lives with her family in a remote southwestern part of the state, said the discoveries raise questions about how many people who illegally entered the U.S. in Hidalgo County, New Mexico, traveled tens of thousands of miles from overseas to sneak across the southern border. She is one of just a few hundred residents of Animas, north of New Mexico, a tiny town that sits between the international border and the Border Patrol's Lordsburg Station, which is 95 miles north of the boundary. The few hundred residents have no local police department. They rely on the Hidalgo County Sheriff's Department and the U.S. Border Patrol to help when they need it, but otherwise count on tips and support from one another because of the 40 miles that separate the community from the county headquarters in Lordsburg. The rancher and six other local residents in Animas told Washington Examiner this week that migrants from places other than Mexico and Central America are arriving. I've talked to several agents that I trust. There's not a lot that I do trust, but the ones I do trust, I talk to them, she said during a tour of her property. What Border Patrol classifies as OTMs, other than Mexicans, has really increased in the last couple years, but drastically within the last 6 months. Chinese, Germans, Russians, a lot of Middle Easterners, those Czechoslovakians they caught over on our neighbors just last summer. Billy Darnell, a cattle rancher in Animas, said his neighbor had 18 women and children from the Philippines show up on his property last year. Border Patrol was called to the scene and took the group in. Government data indicates six known or suspected terrorists were caught trying to enter the U.S. from Mexico from October 1st, 2017 through March 31st, 2018. Now, this article is really dated now when we hear there might be 15,000 a day coming in there, maybe at El Paso, some other sites. The article says, however, the Trump administration has stated on several occasions that 3,700 people who were identified as coming from countries with terrorism problems have also been apprehended at that border. We've talked about the thousands of terror watch list individuals who traveled through our hemisphere last year, and that was from the Homeland Security, the former Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who said that on Fox News. But her words are still just as important as ever as the day she said them. To pretend there's not a danger on an unsecured border, on an open border, is just ridiculous. It belies common sense. And then we will have to be continuing about the creeping Sharia, along with other important news we will be bringing you next week. And again, you know that you can hear us on WWCR. You can hear it on the internet, WWCR.com, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear us on shortwave on that Thursday evening at 8, 4.840 megahertz. And you can hear the program repeated on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. Again, that's 7490. You can also go to Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. to hear our program. That's LWRN.net. And WorldNet Daily, April 15th, had an interesting update. Here's the headline. More than 10,000 illegals in U.S. from terrorist countries. Hamas terrorists. More than 10,000 illegal aliens from countries designated as state sponsors of terrorism are living in the United States, according to federal data. The countries of origin include Iran, North Korea, Syria, and Sudan, said the Immigration Reform Law Institute, or IRLI, which referenced the data in a study reported by Breitbart News. The illegal aliens either have been ordered deported or have pending deportation orders despite remaining in the U.S., Breitbart said. A total of more than 1.7 million illegal aliens remain in the U.S. despite having been ordered deported or having pending deportation orders. IRLI Executive Director Dale Wilcox, spoke to Breitbart News Tonight radio program on Sirius of the, quote, very dangerous situation. Quote, we have 10,000 aliens. Some of them are criminals, and that's why they've been ordered removed. You could have some that might have come into the country legally at some point. However, they've committed crimes, and they've been ordered removed. Of the 10,000 from terror-sponsoring countries, about 6,000 are from Iran, Wilcox pointed out. He noted that California, a, quote, sanctuary state that shields illegal aliens from federal immigration authorities, has the largest population of Iranians outside of Iran. Quote, we've had hearings here recently in Congress where U.S. intelligence officials have stated there are Iranian sleeper cells inside the U.S. ready and waiting for the order, he said. The first attack on the World Trade Center, the New York subway bombing conspiracy, and the 9/11 were plots perpetrated by immigration violators, said Wilcox. We saw on 9/11 the damage that only 19 sleeper cell terrorists could cause, Wilcox said. This is just the latest example of the disaster of sanctuary laws, which force ICE agents to operate with one hand tied behind their backs while making our communities inherently more dangerous. This is very, very important that we realize that Islam is a New World Order tool. It is being used to destroy Western civilization, and these open borders are being used to completely dismantle our country. We need lots of prayer in this country for repentance and renewal. Much of what's happening in America is more than shocking. Lou and I really do believe that some judgment has begun from God. And it will take some time for us to realize the complete destruction of America. And it's happening because spiritually we will not turn back to the Lord. Franklin Graham will be having, I believe, in parts of May, a Northeast Decision America bus tour. Because according to the Pew polling, this is the most godless area now of America, with many people not even believing in God at all. This is a sad thing. And when a woman in Los Angeles says she has a 103-year-old business and she can hardly bear to look out on the street and see the defecation, the tent cities, all of this from the sanctuary state. My God in heaven, what have we come to? Who will stand up? Where is there a man who will stand in the gap? Do your part. Tell somebody about our program this week. Perhaps a millennial. Perhaps you will change a mind and heart. Good night.